pray. Father, we pray now as we look into your word, would you speak to our hearts personally? Would you grant us revelation? Help us to capture what you want to deposit into our lives, to stir us, to walk closely with you, and to give our lives to serve you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We can only give of what we have. All right, and this is taken from this scripture. Everybody read Acts 3:6 together on the count of three. One, two, three. Then, okay, we find that Peter and John has been going in and out of the temple for a lot of times. And then at a particular anointed time, there was this guy who was crippled sitting outside the temple. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what do we have? What I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And we want to take this principle to apply it for ourselves. This same principle. What do we have? We need to know what we have, what the Lord has given to us. We can only give of what we have, and we know this from the laws of life, the laws of matter. The earth derives its warmth from the sun. We all have got a mobile phone, and our mobile phones are only as good functioning for so long as the battery is charged. If the battery is flat, we can have the latest model of the mobile phone, whether it's the iPhone 20 or the Samsung 25, it's completely no use. If our mobile phones are not connected to a network, all right, you can have also the latest technology and it's of no use. You can only give and use of what you have. Similarly, we can have the best car, all right, you're driving the 20,000cc latest Lexus model. Fantastic engine, but if there's no petrol, completely no use. You can't move the car. So the car needs to be topped up with petrol. Your mobile phone needs to be charged up and connected to a network. We can only give of what you have. From the loss of matter, the loss of energy, the same principle in our Christian lives. And that's why we have this mission statement. We share Christ as we mature in Him. And the first verb is we need to mature in the Lord. What does it mean to mature in the Lord? It means to have a vibrant Christian life. To have an exciting relationship with God. It means that our walk with God is current. We're not depending on something that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when we used to walk with the Lord. We all have many stories to tell, many war stories to tell. That is good. But if currently we are not walking with the Lord, it is no good. Completely no good. Our current walk with God must be vibrant, current, ongoing, maturing, being changed, being transformed, allowing the Lord to speak to us, allowing the Lord to mold us. And then from that overflow of our walk with God, we share Christ. What does it mean to share Christ? It is not just preaching the gospel. We share Christ by our testimony. We share Christ by the way we respond and react, which we're going to talk about this morning. This is the same diagram we've been seeing for a while. The iceberg, we all know the story. The Titanic, the greatest engineering feat at the point of time. Supposed to be nothing can beat the Titanic. The captain made a mistake, all right? He thought this was the tip of the iceberg, let's just bash through it and we'll sail through. Because the Titanic is strong. But unfortunately, he did not know that the tip of the iceberg of that iceberg is supported by a huge, a Himalayan rock solid ice. The tip of the iceberg is supported by this mountain gigantic solid ice, whose infrastructure is so solid it crashed the Titanic. The Titanic sank. So we're talking about using this as an illustration, the water line. Underneath the water line is very important. And we've seen it over the years. Leaders, believers, if we do not build these foundations underneath the water line, what is unseen in our lives? When circumstances are not in our favor, when pressure is increased, when we face stress, the fractures will appear underneath the water line. And we've talked about some of these things. Number one is our character. Our character to grow into Christ-likeness. Our character to grow into spiritual maturity. For example, we talk about in BBTC, we have a core value of no offenses. It's good we utter, we mutter, we smile, we laugh until you are personally offended. Until it's something that concerns you personally. Whether it is about your life or your marriage or your children, whether it's concerned about your cell group, the manner you serve. And we see this happening again and again. I got a whole year full for the last 2 weeks itself. or what goes on. Even our anniversary weekend, which just passed through. So, character is something we are continually molded by the Lord. None of us is exempt. I am not exempt. The Lord is dealing with me. The Lord is dealing with all of us all of the time. And it's the little foxes. The little things that irritate us. The little things that bug us. And how we respond and react. Personal baggage. A number of us have been here, BBDC, for the last 7 years, 10 years, and we need to sort out those baggage in our lives. The unhealed hurts, the unmet needs, the unresolved issues. And in this church, we want to encourage you in this discipleship journey, sort them out. Build a biblical worldview, how you view people, how you view problems, difficulties, frustrations, conflicts, difficult situations. How do you overcome them? We need to have that biblical perspective. And then faith convictions. Being convicted. All right, making the main thing the main thing. And that will manifest in the way we conduct ourselves. That will manifest in the way we serve God and our ministry. Okay, so that's a quick recap. The same principle. We can only give of what we have. If our foundations are weak, they will fracture. And when they fracture, we mess ourselves up and we mess the people in our ministry. We mess up the people that we are serving. Some of you are nodding, this is true in our cell groups and so forth. But there is, again, we say there's no condemnation. We want to be alerted to this, to have awareness, so that we journey together, all right, as fellow brothers and sisters. So what do we have, all right? Firstly, I'm going to suggest that we have the light of Christ in us. I want to share three main principles of what we have. We give of the light of Christ in us. And the principle here is light overcomes darkness. Light overcomes darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. That's at the sanctuary. First thing, when the first guys who came to this sanctuary, it was dark. The moment we switch on the lights, the darkness is gone. The same thing in our lives. Light overcomes darkness. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we need to turn on Jesus, so to speak, in our lives. And we need to turn on Jesus in our lives when we interact with people who are in darkness. What is the description of people in darkness? Some of this. Somebody having doubts. Doubts about God. Why is there pain and suffering in the world? Why is there all these calamities and wars? And why did I get into that accident? A 7-car pileup on the PIE. Why did this guy, he's so clumsy, and then he accidentally stepped on me, and then I had a fracture in my toe that lasted for the last 3 years. All right? Why this, why that? Or we are disappointed in life and we get discouraged. And we remain discouraged. Discouraged means we lose courage, we lose faith, and we continually remain in that state and we are not lifted up. And what that will lead to being despondent. Despondent is when we lose hope. And we know of believers who are losing hope. Losing hope in God, losing hope in the promises of God. Did God really mean what He said? Can God be trusted? We sang the song, forever He's faithful, forever He's good. We say maybe it's true for other people's life, but it's not true for your life. God's word is always true. And it can be true for every life that will cling on to His word, hold God to His word. And then if we continue with despondency, that means we're losing hope, we'll be depressed. And people want to see psychiatrists, they want to see counselors, they take all kinds of our medication, and it will continue to deteriorate. And at some point, you're going to entertain suicidal thoughts, death thoughts. We see this whole range of people who are living in partial darkness, which is a continuum, all right? There are degrees of darkness. And the Lord tells us that we have the light. How? Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. And in verse 4 of John 1, it's described that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Man has fallen, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we have fallen from the glory of God, we are in darkness in some form or other. And here in verse 5 of John 1, he goes on to say that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, the darkness can never handle the light. So the light has to be shown into the life of the people that comes across our paths, into their minds, into their hearts, into their spirit realm. And we are the ones carrying the light. So how do we carry the light? Colossians 3:16 says, we must let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That means we must have the word. We need to know the word. We need to know the words of life. We need to know the promises of God. We need to know where in the Bible it says about this matter that the person is going through. Where in the Bible it says about the situation that the person is facing. The Bible has given us principles for everything in life. We are told this in 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3. Everything in life is in the Word of God. It's in the promises of God. It's in the covenant of God. Therefore, it behooves every one of us, and a gentle reminder, we need to get into the Word. Why? The Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The Word of God will shine on that area of darkness, and the Word of God will show us the direction to go. It's a lamp to our feet. The next step to take. What is the decision in this relationship issue? What is the decision in this problem in the office? What is this insight that we need from the Lord for the situation in the family? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. See, the Word of God is the living Word of God. And we need to know the Word of God. And hence the word intake. We need to continually hear, read, study, remember, meditate, ponder over, hear. Every Sunday come to church, hear the Word of God. Posture your heart, hear the Word of God. Regardless of who the speaker is, hear the Word of God. Practice dual listening. Listen to the speaker, listen to the Holy Spirit. During the week, read the Word of God. And in BBDC, we say everybody should have a goal to read the Word. We should read the Word of God every day. But some of us, we cannot make it, all right, because of your work and so forth. So we say, set a goal. During a 7-day week, read the Word of God at least 4 times. 4 days out of 7. Pick your 4 days. Then study the Word of God. Study means ask questions. All of us should belong to a cell group. I mean, telling the camp committee, all right, in registration, only those who belong to cell group. This is my cell category of those who don't. You got 8 months to join a cell group to go to camp, so to speak. All right. Why? Because in the cell group, you study the Word of God together. Can you study the Word of God alone? Sure. But learning is best in a community where each of us will express how we apply the Word of God in our different situations. All right. And that's why we have the different groups, the mother's group, the cell group, the mentoring group, where you spar with one another, where iron sharpens iron, and we encourage and urge each other along this journey. Study. Then remember. Remember the precepts. Remember the principles all the time. What did God say? You're stuck in this situation. What did the Bible say? I recall a sharing yesterday when we had the conversations. A father was talking to one of our leaders. He's been struggling to engage his teenage daughter. So months ago, I don't know if it's 6 months or 9 months ago, this leader told this father, well, take your daughter out for a meal. Take your daughter out for a cuppa. And talk to her. And just very recently, he went to this leader again. Can you please help me? I'm really had big problem with this daughter of mine, the teenage daughter. So this leader reminded him, well, the last time I told you, you should take your daughter out. Did you? No. This is a high-powered guy who can relate with CEOs, CFOs, and so forth, but he cannot relate with his daughter. Nothing in our lives occur by chance. And I know many, or not many, or quite a number, where we are all high-powered. We can relate in the corporate world. And you know what normally happens? The Lord will take someone in our family, someone close to us, someone who is precious to us, a son, a daughter, who in a sense have no regard for our titles, whether a senior pastor, managing director, Asia Pacific director of marketing and so forth. Your son and daughter, you are the father, you are the mother. That title of ours means nothing to them. They want to relate to you as a father, as a mother. And very often, we are only as strong as the weakest link in our family relationships. We're only as strong as our weakest link in our personal relationships. And if we cannot manage that, actually it's a big deal about managing all these big guns out there. Because after a while, you're not continually engaging the people in the corporate world. The relationships. So the Word of God, the intake. The second aspect of the light of Christ in us as you look into Scriptures is about doing good works. Okay? So this is a little extension from the anniversary message. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus tells us we are the light of the world. And He says our light is meant to shine. It's not to be put underneath the bed. And it gives light to all who are in the house, so it must give light. And then verse 16 of Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God the Father. God wants us to do good works. We are not saved by good works. We are saved to do good works. And the intent and the purpose of doing good works is to glorify our Father in heaven. How? A few suggestions. Give of our time. The example I've given about that father and the daughter. For mothers and daughters, go shopping. For those who love shopping, have a cuppa. Go swimming. Speak into their lives. Go on holidays together. Give a listening ear. Provide comfort, someone who is grieving. Talk over a meal. Teach. Instruct. Coach. Give of your time. We need people, and we are asking for volunteers here, there, and everywhere in this church to teach in the DTC class, to be a mentor, to serve in the worship team, disciple. Do hospital and home visits. This is something that is ongoing at the time, not only in the English side, but the Mandarin and Hokkien. Guy, go jogging. Be involved as a counselor. We will help train, all right? And we said yesterday, if you can get a diploma, go to one of those part-time courses in counseling, and then you can volunteer and help in the load and to relieve from the counseling load that we have. Give of our time. Time is precious, and especially as Singaporeans, we all guard our time very jealously. But if we can carve out a portion of our time, one guide is to tithe your time. Your waking time, all right? You need to sleep your 7-8 hours, all right? So put aside your sleeping, take away your meal times, your breakfast, lunch, dinner, okay? Take your time for your essentials to clean up, wash up, and so forth. Of your remaining awake time, your time for work, can you tithe your time in the day or in the week? 3 hours in the week, 5 hours in the week? Just think about it. Calculate how you want to calculate. Can you tithe not for yourself? That means this tithe is this. Time that is carved out is given to the Lord to minister to someone, to give it to someone, to bless someone. That's one way to look at it. The other one is give of our money. We say that the pool of money that we have, you have your money from your salaries, your bonuses, your commissions, your fees. What do? Put them into jars. All right? Some people got 3 jars, some people got 5 jars. The first jar is your tithe. The first 10% belongs to the Lord. All right? You know all the teaching already. It belongs to the Lord. When we tithe, we give it to Him who lives forever. Hebrews 7 verse 8. The tithe is never abolished. The second one is what we call your offerings. If you just started out work, it's small, or put your 1% there. As you continue to work, you have a lot more income, put 2%, 3%, 10%, 20%. Your offerings jar is your seed money. Waiting for an opportunity, waiting for a divine appointment, a divine connection, to sow. This is your seed money. To sow and bless someone that needs it more than you. It may be a missionary, it may be a pastor, it may be an NGO, it may be a parachurch organization. It can be anything, alright? Where the Lord will bring across your path. Your path, not anybody else. And God gives you that opportunity to sow into that person's life. The third jar is M's, all right, to give to the poor. So if you're in a hawker center, we say that again. Somebody comes with you to sell you tissue, all right, 3 packs for $1. Don't go and argue whether he's blind, really blind, half blind, 3/4 blind. Never mind, just give a dollar and just take the 3 packs of tissue. Okay? If possible, just give the $2 and say, keep the change. All right? Don't go and quarrel about it. You can go to Giant or Carrefour, no more Carrefour. All right? You can buy it cheaper. Okay? Cultivate the habit. If we can learn to give it away, it will help. I came across this video. Somebody sent it to me. All right? It's about a stingy guy in the army. Every income comes, the income goes. All right? Until he became a believer, until he learned to tithe and see the Lord's goodness. Let's watch the video.
Hi, I'm Dan. This is my story. Most of my life had pretty much evolved around me being selfish and living for myself and not really caring about what anybody else thought. So I joined the military when I was 18. During my time in the military, our spending was out of control. It was pretty much on the same trajectory as my life. And we would pretty much live paycheck to paycheck without much care of what the next month would bring. So the last year that I was in the military, I had a friend that I had went to jump school with, Todd. He had given his life to Christ. And he, in an effort to save me, actually asked me to come out to California and participate in a seminar with him. So he paid for my trip out there, which was really cool. And that's when I gave my life to Christ. We started serving, helping out. But as I read the Bible and really started to get involved with the church and serving and all that, that's truly when my wife and I realized that, you know, that's not what we're cheating God, because that's not what the tithe is. You know, we're supposed to bring the full tithe to the church, which is 10%. We knew that the money we were given was God's anyhow, and we were being obedient. About 18 months ago, our whole section was cut back 20% of my salary, and I talked to my wife about that, and she's like, you know, what are we going to do? That's a lot of money. And I was like, we're going to trust God, and we're going to continue to tithe, you know, in the full amount. And throughout that whole process, I had a couple of different things happen to me, which were really cool. There was no reason, but I got a bonus. You know, certain things came in the mail, and I was just like, only God can provide that money, especially when we needed it. But I believe that God wants us to really trust Him and to give bigger than we've given before, kind of on a level of an extravagant gift, if you will. But Jesus even said, you know, that when tough times come or when troubles come, and they will, not if, but when they do, if you put your faith and trust in me, then I'll provide.
Okay, like this guy on the video, all right, he learned to tithe and see God comes through for him. When we tithe, all right, the Lord will sanctify the remaining of what we have. We tithe 10%, the remaining of the 90%, as if we have not even given the 10%. All right, he will stretch it. This is proven again and again. I've been doing so since I was 13 years old, first knew the Lord. Been with the Lord for the last 50 years, all right, 63. The Lord has always been faithful. How else, what else do? We give of our other resources. Some examples, all right? Now your kids are grown up, they're teenagers, okay? You're not trying the seventh child. Give the baby cord away, all right? Like yesterday at the seminar with somebody who is a model, he has got 4 kids and the 5th kid is on the way. All right, that's the model for BBDC now. 5 children for the young ones. Computers, laptops, all right? You're upgrading to the latest version, all right? Give the last one away, which is still good. You're going to your iPhone number 8. Is it iPhone number 8? All right. Give your iPhone number 6 to someone else, your domestic helper or whoever. Declutter your wardrobe. You have not worn that shirt or that pants for the last 2 years. I remember those days in the banking world, I love to accumulate ties. All right. Probably a couple of thousand of ties. And I remember over the years, each time Indonesia wanted it, I remember Sulawesi gave a few hundred, Philippines a few hundred, who has not. I only wear tie on Sundays, all right, here. Hardly, all right, give it away. Your warm clothing, you bought the latest, wow, super duper cashmere wool and so forth, and that wish don't keep you so warm, give it away, okay? This other video was sent to me, is about giving to people who give. This guy just went around trying this out. And for people who gave to him, he gave $20. All right, let's watch it.
I see a lot of videos on YouTube about giving to the homeless and doing great things. So today, I wanted to give back to the people that are giving to the homeless. Every single person that gives me money will have their money returned and also be given $20. I know it's not a lot of money, but it's enough to make a difference in someone's day. Check it out. Spirit change. Can you spare some change, sir?
I need to get a job.
I need to get a job?
You gotta go.
You need to leave?
You can't do that here.
Really?
Really. It's a public place. It's a store. You can't panhandle out here.
Could you guys spare any change, please?
No, man. I gotta work myself.
Wow, thank you so much. I appreciate you giving to me and everything. And I want to give you $20.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want to give it to people who are giving to others. Because you're the ones that really deserve it. So that's for you. Thank you so much, man.
I just came out homeless myself.
Really?
Yeah, I just got a place.
So you were homeless?
Yeah.
I'm actually out here trying to get people who are out there giving. So there's 25 back to you.
What?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, brother.
You're welcome, man. Man, can I tell you something real quick?
Sure.
Thank you so much for giving. I'd actually like to give you your dollar back plus $20.
Why?
Because I'm giving to people who give.
You're
so
kidding.
The people who are out there giving, I think they really deserve something in return.
What about you?
I'm all right.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I pray, God, that you'll just open up a job, an occupation. God, we're both down, but we're not out. You're on our side. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That's all I got, Bart.
I got something for you.
Okay. You need this?
No, it's for you.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Thanks for the prayer, man.
Yes, sir. Do good on the next one.
See you in glory, Paul.
Okay, giving to people who give. What else do we share and give? Knowledge. Nutrition. All right, you take this pure virgin coconut oil. It's good for your, you know, your hair, your eyes. Beauty tips. All right, you went to the beautician and she did a marvelous job. All right, and everybody was just looking at you. Share the secret, okay? Bargains. Travels. Flight from here to wherever you knew, there's a certain time the airline will release 20 tickets at $50, which ordinarily costs $2,000 or whatever. All right, share that. What you've learned, insights, tips, hearing God, mentoring, raising kids, teens, marriage, handling finances. We all have ideas. We all have got things to share. Lobang here, lobang there, where this place good to eat, where that place good to eat. All right, how we can get Mao Sang Wang for $5 a kilo. The real ones. Okay. All right. How to share and give? I want to mention a few things. Number one, we need to have self-awareness. We need to have discretion and not have an attitude of superiority. I've got plenty to give. I give, you take. No. That's not how we give. All right. Or we are so inferior where we don't want to receive, where we cannot receive. And that the Lord has taught me, learn to receive. Okay. As well. Only give to those who are receptive. In the same principle, we don't shove the gospel down somebody's throat. Don't push your giving. Several things happened over the weekend, an anniversary. You know, things are all organized around the church. Okay? I know people have good intentions. In fact, good intentions are always assumed. We all have good intentions to serve God. But sometimes our wanting to serve, our wanting to give get in the way of things that has already been organized and going. And sometimes it doesn't value add. Our giving must value add. Our giving must value multiply to the person or to the process or to the operations. It cannot hinder. It must not hinder. Otherwise, there will be resentment, there will be comparison, there will be jealousy, there will be envy, and there will be all kinds of problems. So we need to, even in giving, we need wisdom. In giving, we need discretion. And the principle of giving is to value add and to value multiply. And not get in the way, and not mess things up, and not make things worse. And not cause an emotion that is negative on the part of the recipient. Okay? I think of this family, I know there were three or four siblings, and then their parents live in one house. Every time each of the siblings have an excess something, they say they buy a 65-inch TV, all right? Then the 24-inch TV, they dump it into the parents' house. And then they move house, oh, they got an extra furniture, they dump it into the parents' house. And the parents' house, nobody bother the parents, is looked after by, let's say, the youngest sibling there. And everything is dumped into the parents' house, like a junkyard. Why? Because they do not want to give it to the karungguni man. They don't want to bring it to the Salvation Army, and they don't want to dispose of it. Convenient, it became a dumping ground. So sometimes our giving is out of convenience, it is a dumping ground. So even in our giving, we need wisdom. Even in our giving, it must be sincere. All right, it must be in the right posture and attitude. All right. So the first principle is we give of the light of Christ in us. Secondly, we give of the life of the Spirit of God in us. Several applications. Number one, we speak life always. John 6:63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Why? Because life overcomes death. Light overcomes darkness. Life overcomes death. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. God wants all of us, as his sons and daughters, when we speak, we need to speak the words of God, the oracles of God. When you go onto the Uber, you book an Uber or a Grab or a taxi, all right, talk to the taxi driver. This is something I do fairly often. Let's say the whole family of four in the past, when we go, my wife and my two sons will be in the back. I'll be sitting in front of the talk to him for the half an hour journey, the 25-minute journey from home to airport, whatever. Talk about the birds and the bees, the weather. Talk about the life as a taxi driver. His take-home on average a week, a month, all right? His struggles, his problems. And you never know. You just deposit gems from the Word of God. Speak life to encourage. Say thank you to people who serves you. The guy who pumps the petrol at the petrol pump attendant, the cashier, the person who helps you with the trolley, whatever, smile, okay? Words matter, all right? Speak life. 1 Corinthians 12:8-9, this is what we do at every worship service. We have got different groups of intercessors, and they all ultimately link back to the pastors and the worship service pastor. And what do we do? 1 Corinthians 12:8-9, one is given the word of wisdom, one the word of knowledge, one the word of faith. Last Saturday at our anniversary weekend, a man came to me. He says he's only been in our church, I'm trying to recall, about 2 years. But 2 years ago, he was in somewhere in Bedok Interchange. He bumped into somebody, says you need to come to BBTC. That particular Saturday, he came for the Saturday service, and there was a word of knowledge about somebody trying to sell a property. He said he was the one. He'd been trying to sell his property for, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, and he couldn't sell. And the word of knowledge tape, he came forward, he responded to the word, he was prayed over, and within a month, he sold his property. And that was himself. He was so elated, he's still faithfully coming. I saw him last Saturday. And he said that he met another person who has several properties to sell. And I don't know where it was, 2 years ago, when the property market was really in the pits. And the guy wanted to sell, and somebody offered a rock bottom price. Obviously, he's still going to make a big loss. So the guy hang on and waited and bumped into this guy. This guy said, well, you need to pray, you need to come to God and so forth. Okay? And he found somebody who wanted to buy the furniture from the property. To cut the whole long story short, within a couple of months, all his two or three properties was one by one sold at prices that was above the rock bottom price originally offered. Words of knowledge. The Lord knows our coming in and our going out. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in our life is hidden from God. Everything in our lives are naked and laid bare before God. And God knows our frame. He knows our struggles. He knows the things that are bugging us. Go to Him. All right? 1 Corinthians 14:3. The purpose of the word is for edification. Edification is to encourage us in our faith. It is for encouragement. It is for comfort and consolation. And this is the purpose of the word in our cell groups. We do the gel to bond together. We do the glorify to worship God. And we do the grow. The purpose of the grow in the word is to encourage each of us in our journey with God. To encourage each of us in our discipleship journey. Share the gospel is the second application. The life of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:15, which is our theme verse for this month. Always be prepared to give a defense of the reason of the hope that we have. In the Amplified version, in the NIV version, always be prepared to give an answer. Why do you believe what you believe? Do we know why we believe in Christ? Do we know what we believe? Do we know what is the gospel? Can we share the gospel? Can we share the gospel in our own words? Can we share the gospel without biblical, spiritual terminology, so to speak? And that's what we want to do as a disciple-making church. And in BBDC, we say that everyone ought to be a spiritual parent. A spiritual parent able to share the gospel, able to help a new believer read the Bible, help a new believer to pray, okay? Share the gospel. We have various commandments and instructions in the Gospels about sharing the gospel. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. And as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we find that Jesus mentioned a methodology. When He sent the 72 from city to city, town to town, home to home. And in Luke chapter 10, He gave us this methodology. Luke chapter 10, verse 5 to 9. Number one, He says, you find a man of peace, or a woman of peace, or a son of peace. A man of peace is someone who will receive you, someone who will listen to you. And He said otherwise, if someone doesn't listen to you, who rejects you, shake the dust off your feet, move on. Don't force your way. Okay? So we need, and BBDC, we have adopted this methodology in Luke chapter 10. So we talk a lot about finding people, relatives, friends, colleagues, find them who will accept you and receive you. Yesterday I was in somebody's home and then somebody pops in and brought the parents, the pre-believing parents, and they came and they spoke Hainanese and I kidded around with them in Hainanese and so forth. And I realized there were attempts by the cell group members to befriend the parents of this lady in the cell group. And I'm very sure, after a while, as we see each one by one, the father coming to know the Lord, the mother coming to know the Lord over the years in this particular cluster of cells, that it's just a matter of time. As she continues to pray for her parents, engage the parents, what do we do next? We fellowship with them. We eat and drink with them. So we invited them in, all right? We had something that they went on. Eat and drink with them. Fellowship with them. Talk about the birth of it. They say they just came to a Hainanese restaurant somewhere in Crane Road. There's a British, you know, last time you have these Hainanese waiters in Singapore Cricket Club, Hainanese pork chop to your steak and your whatever. So we just talk about food and restaurants and so forth. And then at some point, God is going to open a window for you. Meet their felt needs. In Luke chapter 10, it says, heal the sick there. It may be the sick, they may be unwell, it may be he's struggling with a job or he's been retrenched. It may be an incident that happened in the workplace. You say, can I pray for you? Meet the felt needs there. Appropriate the specific grace of God for their needs. And finally, share the gospel. 2 days ago, I had lunch with our partner in mission, Abu, those of us who know him. He lives in Texas, and his ministry is to the Hindus, the Buddhists, and the Muslims. And they don't come to a church like ours, all right? He shares the gospel with them. They visit each other in their homes. And what they do is they contextualize the gospel. And even when they come to know the Lord and they just study scripture, you bring your Hindu Bible, the Muslim Quran, and you bring his Bible. And they'll talk. He says, up to a point, many of them cannot go further. They don't have the answer to life. And they share one by one how they are led to the Lord. And when they're led to the Lord, they don't go to church in the way we come to church. In their homes. And one by one, they bring their father, their mother, their siblings, and their relatives, and the whole come to the Lord. He says there was one family, 35 of them came to know the Lord. And that's a wicked disciple. He's with the Navigators Ministry, and some of us know who he is. And that's what he does, this methodology. Find a man of peace. Talk about life, talk about God, talk about disaster, talk about crisis, talk about terrorism, and so forth. Fellowship with them. They have meals in their homes, all right? And they meet for their fellow needs. And then he pre-arranged with one or two younger believers to come and say, oh, can you pray or can you read, and so forth. And finally, they find many opportunities to share the gospel. We're having an all-leaders meeting this Wednesday, and as usual, every time during the year, we have our bridge-building activities. Every cell group should have the Oikos list, and at the end of the year, November, December, all right, is when we have our year-end evangelistic outreaches. This coming Christmas alone, we have just over 50 people getting baptized. Christmas Day. You find that we're going to have services on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is Christmas Day. We're converting the whole Christmas service, two services on the Monday, completely evangelistic. We're going to get one of the Miracom artists, I can't remember the name, well known to those of you who watch Channel 8 and so forth, when the name was given to me, Lembokyu, I don't watch Channel 8, and Belinda something. All right. Come, all right, and then there'll be testimonies, there'll be songs and so forth, and the testimonies of the baptism candidates. Share the gospel. When we share the gospel, Romans 15:13, we give them hope in their struggles. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. We need to keep on abounding in hope. When there's hope, there is life. All right. We hear testimonies. At the anniversary weekend, all right, we have the various seven anointed booths. And one of the booths is this anointed altar booth. And I received this report from Pastor Evelyn, who headed these booths. She said there were a total prayers of 61 prayers prayed. There are four teams of twos. In twos, they went around the whole church to pray. Three were in the room to anchor for people who popped into the room, this anointed altar room. And there were many instant healings. Okay, one, a lady who fell from bicycle last month, she suffered pain on her arm, and when she was prayed, she was healed instantly. Her knee, which was also painful, was also healed. There was another lady, she had pain on both feet, she was prayed over, and she was healed. The lady who has pain on the wrist, she was healed, and she couldn't believe it was so fast. It was instant healing. She teared in amazement. There was another lady who she had itchiness on her shoulder blade, and she was also healed. And simultaneously, she was having toothache. After being prayed over, she did not experience any more pain after the prayer. Another lady received the gift of tongues. There was a man, his finger, there was pain in his finger. And when he was asked after the prayer, how do you feel? He says about 80% relieved. There's another lady who has an eye that was twitching. And after being prayed over, the twitching stopped. There was a lady who has pain in the stomach. And when she was prayed over, the pain was relieved, and the pain on her arm was also healed, and her irregular heartbeat remained constant after the prayers. And there was a man, all right, this was one of our Filipino guys, we know him, I won't name him here. He said, I mistakenly twisted my arm carrying my wife's shopping bag in Bangkok. Hazard. The pain never improved, all right? And to cut the whole long story short, he delayed. He's so busy, I think, in his work and so forth. Didn't want to see the doctor. He says, "Never mind, God will heal me, I want to heal me." So on the anniversary, two of the ladies prayed over him, all right? And he says that when Pastor Evelyn came in a crowd and offered prayer of healing, all right? And after they prayed, the pain left him. And he was pleasantly surprised. And he said the unbearable pain was gone. Initially, it was just 50%, and then 90%. And after the third time, there was no more pain. Yeah, give the Lord glory. Give Him praise. I know every time we share this, in the past, increasingly, we were disqualified. Not everybody who is prayed over is healed. But I think increasingly, we should stop qualifying. Increasingly, we should always talk about how to grow our faith. And how do we grow our faith? Listen to testimonies. How do we grow our faith? Hands-on. Hands-on. And how do we keep on growing our faith? Stuff our doubts. Stuff our cynicism. Stuff our skepticism. And that's how we will grow as disciples. That's how we will grow to experience and see God coming through for us. So the question is, what is our focus? Is our focus on the Word of God? Is our focus on testimonies or what God is doing rather than what does not appear to be happening? And this is our encouragement to journey as a church. The church in Singapore, now the largest church beyond BBTC, this year 2017 is what we call a year of preparation. What did we do this year? This year we had leaders retreat in Malacca with Sam Lam in March. Then we had the blessing campaign in February. And then we had the spiritual hygiene exercise for all the leaders in this sanctuary in the month of September. And now we are preparing and gearing up for next year. And during the 40-day season of prayer, we had prayer every night during the whole 40 days this year. We are prepared to do so next year, but depending on what the plans come out, maybe we become a center for the East region for other churches to join us. But in any event, we have already planned. I met with the CPs and the CEOs, the CPs, the cell pastors, the cell overseers just a few days ago. All right, we're gearing up. If we can do it this year, next year, we will step up next year as a year of prayer. Next year's Day of His Power will not be on in Suntec. That's too small. We're going to have it in the indoor stadium. And then next year in October, on October the 7th, mark in your diary, October the 7th will be the National Day of Prayer. It will be in the Sports Hub. And we're gearing up for the Year of Proclamation. There will be the Harvest event. It's called the Celebration of Hope. You'll be at the Sports Hub, okay? But as I told the leaders, this is only an event. Don't just focus on the event that happens on the night or the 2 or 3 nights. What we want to focus on is this whole journey and process, that people will be saved along the way as we are conscious of our pre-believing friends, our pre-believing relatives, our pre-believing colleagues. We must start thinking of them, praying for them now, all the way. And then in the year of 2020, the Church of Singapore talks about a year of personal discipleship. Right now, we must already be on this journey. And you know that in this church, we got this new belief, like disciples track, growing disciples track, maturing disciples track, and the leadership track. So you've been here for a while, this sounds new to you, just hop onto one of these and plug on. And what else do we do? Pray for the person as we just talked. James 5:16 says, pray for one another. Which is why we have, in our worship service, we weave in this thing called congregational prayer. That's for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, all right, where we learn to pray. And as believers, if we don't pray, what are we here for? The Lord says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, a house of prayer. The third principle, the third thing that we have that we can give. Firstly, we give of the light of Christ. Secondly, we give of the life of the Spirit. The third thing we give is of the love of Father God. The love of Father God. How can we give of the love of Father God? The first principle, we must continually receive and experience Father's love ourselves. It must be personal. And this, we have learned from this pulpit. 1 John 4:10, none of us can love God. Many a times from our traditional churches, we have people, our leaders coming to us, do you love God? Do you love God? Come for the prayer meeting. Do you love God? Attend cell group. Do you love God? Do Bible study. No, wrong starting place. Wrong, wrong, wrong. How do we know it's wrong? 1 John 4:10. Not that we love God. We can never love God on our own. But that He first loved us. Therefore, the starting point is that we must receive and experience the love of God ourselves. And why? A basic principle. The source of love, the origin of love, the fountain of love comes from God. The water in the tap in our homes comes from the reservoir. If you live in the east, it comes from Bedok Reservoir. The source of the water. Similarly, the source of love, God is love. It comes from God. So firstly, we must experience God's love. And then secondly, we love God. We love Him because He first loved us. Mark those words. And then thirdly, we are enabled to love one another by the love. And Romans 5:5 is the verse. It's the Holy Spirit that will pour the love of Father God in our hearts to enable us to love one another. You and I, we cannot love each other properly because we are all selfish. I am selfish. We are all biased, we are all prejudiced. So when we talk about the phrase, by our love for one another, will the world know that we are His disciples? It is not our own love. It is the love of the Father God in our hearts. Husband loving wives, wife loving husbands, parents loving children, cell group members loving cell group members, brothers and sisters, is only possible with the love of God. completely impossible with our own natural, fallen, corrupt, sinful nature, natural love, because it is fallen. So we need to experience ourselves. And love overcomes all fears. Love overcomes all suspicions. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Envy, comparison. And we learn from this pulpit, comparison is the devil's snare. You don't want to give so much to the person. You don't want to give more of yourself or your money or whatever to the person because you are suspicious. He may be a competitor. He may abuse you. Your child may whatever. All right. We try to eat. But it says love conquers all fear. And this, I'm talking about the perfect love of Father God. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says that we've received the Holy Spirit by which we call God Abba Father. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, the first thing that happens is that we must know our identity. We are children of God. And this is our discipleship journey. Where we transit from being from an orphan spirit to a spirit of sonship. Unfortunately, many Christians are not properly followed up. They are not properly discipled. And although they become Christians, they continue to live their lives as orphans. And let me just give these examples which I have reformatted with Edric's help. All right, an orphan spirit as contrasting with a spirit of sonship. How do we see God? An orphan spirit sees God as a taskmaster. But a spirit of sonship sees God as a loving father. An orphan spirit is motivated by performance to please God. And just these 2 days, I've been talking to some leaders about this leader, that leader, and they just want to serve God. They are very zealous for God. Go on mission trip. They want to serve God in the service team as ushers. They just want to serve God. But they're serving God from empty. They just want to please God. They are motivated more by performance in attempt to please God rather than motivated by love and gratitude to delight God. And when frustrated, the orphan spirit will react with anger and fits of rage. We see this again and again. Why? Because they are living out of that orphan spirit. But if we are rested knowing that God is in charge, you should stay calm, cool, collected. I've got to learn this continuously. When I hear 20 things, Lord, I cast all my burdens to you. It is tough pastoring a church. And it's tougher, all right, when you deal with leaders and pastors and other leaders, all right, and you have a whole year full, and everybody have the opinion, and you hear of leaders who fight, and so forth. So sometimes, I just did that yesterday. Lord, I cast all my burdens to you. This is your church. Christ, you are the head of the church. I'm not running from responsibility, but this is a state from time to time you have to come, all right? You just have to rest in the Lord. How do we view ourselves? An orphan spirit is insecure, striving for approval. Whereas a spirit of sonship rests in the Lord. An orphan spirit lacks self-esteem. A sonship spirit walks in the love of Father God. That's how we view ourselves. How do we view other people? An orphan spirit is easily jealous, as in King Saul, easily jealous of other people's success. He killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. But a spirit of sonship honors and rejoices with others. Can we rejoice with the church? We have a few churches around BBTC, all right? The All Saints Church on the hilltop here, but there's a cathedral, there's a house church just around here. All right, when people come to know the Lord, we rejoice with them. We bless them. We come here. We celebrate. An orphan spirit competes. That's why we say there's no competition. And spirit of sonship, we bless others. An orphan spirit uses people as objects to fulfill goal. A spirit of sonship serves people. And that's what we try to do here in BBTC. And having said that, we are so proud. I mean, 99% of us, all right, with the blessing campaign, if all that we go through this year, by the way, all the problems I'm talking about, we're just talking about the 1%, all right, to put it in perspective, okay? It's just the 1%, okay? But we have to help the 1%. The 99% of us have to help the 1% level up, grow up, and mature, okay? From an orphan spirit to a spirit of sonship. It is not a destination per se. It is a journey. It is a process. Okay, you got it in handout. You just fill up the blanks. It'll be on the website. Continue on. How do we view work and ministry? An orphan spirit is driven by the need for success. Whereas a spirit of sonship leads the mature son into his calling and mission. So we must try not just to be want to be successful, but what is God's calling for me in the job as a teacher, as an engineer, as a clerk, as a multivitamin salesperson, or whatever. An office spirit draws primary identity through material possessions, physical appearance and activities. The car you drive, the houses that you live in, the Gucci bag that you carry, or whatever, alright? But the spirit of sonship is grounded not in the things of the earth, but in our sonship and the Father's affirmation. Before Jesus began ministry in Luke chapter 3, he was baptized and he heard the words of the Father, "This is my beloved Son." He received the Father's affirmation. This is our identity. Your identity and my identity is not found in our jobs, our positions, our titles. It is found simply that we are sons and daughters of God. What a glorious blessing. When we grasp that, there will be less stress. When we understand that, there will be less worries. When that is in our lives, we overcome stress, anxieties, and fears. Okay? What else do? We share the love of God to those who are trapped in this world. There are many people who are trapped in this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We see this in people, in colleagues, all around us. They go after things. All right? Money is very good. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And we see this. And what do we need to do? We need to share the love of God with them. Okay, we are aware that people who are driven to do good works because of their belief system, all right? But more so for us, our belief system is that we are never saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works, okay? So what else can we do? We can minister healing to the hurting, the wounded in the world. As we have learned, all right, for every wound in our hearts, for every hurt, every disappointment, there are three principles. Number one, apply the blood for cleansing. Number two, apply the oil, the ointment of the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to soothe away the pains. All right, there are many hurting in the world. And number three, we ask God to bind up the wounds. That's how we pray for people. Apply the blood, apply the oil, all right, and apply the, ask the Father God to bind up the wounds. All the three persons of the Godhead are involved in the healing of our inner wounds, our souls, and so forth. Okay? And then share the love of God in our relationships. Share the love of God. He says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it is not rude, it is not proud, it is not rude, it does not seek its own, it does not think of evil, it does not rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never fails. It's tough. This is agape love. This is defined for us in 1 Corinthians 13. This is in the King James Version. We are on this journey, and it's how we can do so to share the love of God. Okay? We can only give what we have. The worship team can come on the stage. A reminder again, and this is a reminder consistent with our core values, that we can only give of what we have. That simultaneously, we need to build our capacity. Simultaneously, we cannot run empty. We cannot run empty and give out empty. We'll mess up. Okay, so the first summary, a reminder, what do we have? We have light, and light overcomes darkness. What else do we have? We have the life of God, and the life of God in us overcomes death. And thirdly, what else do we have? We have the love of Father God, and the love of God overcomes all fears. Okay, so a reminder, we can only give of what we have. How else do we have what we have? To continually give of the light of Christ in us. What do we need to do? Regular word intake. We need to continually partake the word to have the light. We need to continually partake the word to have the revelation and the insight. How do we continually give of the life of the Spirit? We need to connect and pray always. Talk to God. All right. Talk to God. Tell Him about the situation. Tell Him about the things. Pray for the person and so forth. And then thirdly, to continually give of the love of Father God. How do we continually receive the Father's love? I said very often, build your altar of thanksgiving, praise and worship. Your altar of thanksgiving, a spirit of gratefulness. Your altar of praise, where we know the names of God, the character of God, the nature of God. And the altar of worship is ultimate surrender. The last slide. We can only give of what we have, And this is a continual prayer. Many a times, we're stuck, I'm stuck, all right. 2 weeks ago, I realized I'm going to take the pulpit today, all right. There's supposed to be an African here, but today I'm the African guy. I was struggling with various topics, and then this one was firmly entrenched in my mind and heart, our core value. God is able to make all grace, His grace, abound towards you, towards me, so that we will always have all sufficiency in all things. So the things that God wants you to do, He will enable you, He will empower you, He will supply you, so that you will have an abundance for every good work. Let's stand as we close in prayer.